of the MMA OB Daily podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. You can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, and this podcast is available, as always, at MMAoddsbreaker.com. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMArates.net. So we're going to preview PFL today. I did talk about a little bit about with Cole Sheldon the other day, but I'll talk about it more today. I should mention, once again, there's no odds for it, which really sucks. The card is tonight. All fighters may wait for this card, so all the fights are official. At this point, it's very disappointing. I'd like to get some odds out. PFL is a pretty big entity at this point. It's on ESPN. You'd think that some of these books would get the odds out a little bit sooner than fight day. So very frustrating, but I'll still preview the card anyways. Pretty good card, some good fights on it. Let's get into it right now. I'll start with the featherweight tournament, then I'll move up to the lightweight tournament. So opening up the card, we got Lance Palmer, the party, taking on Gadzi Banadov. Again, no odds for these fights, guys. I'd have to venture that Palmer probably is the favorite, though. I mean, he did win last year's tournament. He's a big name, so I'm assuming he's going to be the favorite. Lance Palmer, 32 years old, 19-3 record. He's actually on a nice win streak here. Eight straight wins in a row since a loss to Andre Harrison in 2017. So, you know, Lance Palmer's a great fighter. You know, in my opinion, he could definitely be a very competitive fighter for the belt in the UFC. I think he is that good. I think he is probably top 10, top 15 in the world. But in PFL, he's probably the best guy, coming off a couple of nice wins here in 2019 over Alex Gilpin and Luis Rafael Laurentino. I think Lance Palmer is just a great fighter. And again, I think he'll probably be a big favorite, if I had to guess. But this Rabat Damov guy is pretty solid too. 12-3-2 record. Russian fighter coming off of four straight wins, actually five fight undefeated streak. In his last fight, he beat Steven Seiler in his PFL debut, so a pretty good win there. His level experience is it's okay. I mean, he's fought some decent guys in Russia, nothing great, but the Steven Seiler win, obviously the biggest win of his career. I think this guy will probably be a big underdog. I mean, I guess he could pull off the upset. We do see them occasionally in PFL, these big upsets, but I don't know. I just think Palmer without wrestling is going to win this fight. He's just a solid fighter, more experienced, trains at a great camp. Again, wish we had odds. You know, it's not easy to break down these fights without the odds, but if I had to guess, Palmer would be a big favorite, and I do expect him to win this fight. It's a two-round fight. The winner of this fight will fight a second time, so I think this fight's probably going to go to decision, if I had to guess, but we'll see what happens. Next up, we have Alex Gilpin, who I just mentioned, against Andre Harrison. It's another featherweight bout, two rounds. Alex Gilpin, 13-2 record, 27 years old. Coming off a really nice win over Freddie Sunstone, choked him out. Great win before that, lost to Lance Palmer. He's actually a guy that was on the Contender Series. He finished J.R. Kugrin in 2018 by submission, and Dana White passed on this guy, even though he had, at that point, seven straight wins. So he has a decent level of experience. He's fought a couple guys like Dan Moret, who's in the UFC. So not a bad level of experience. The one lost to Palmer. That's his only loss in the last 3 years. So this guy's not too bad. But taking out Andre Harrison here, I expect Gilpin to be a big underdog. I expect Harrison to be a big favorite again. 21-1-1 record. 31 years old. You know how good Andre Harrison is with his wrestling. The guy's one loss in his career to Lance Palmer. In his last fight, he didn't look great against Mavlid Kaibuliev. Had the draw there. But still, overall, he's been just phenomenal in PFL. 1, 2, 3, 4. He's 5-1-1 in PFL. If you include WSOF, 7-1-1. He does have that win over Lance Palmer. He's beaten on Alexander Popo Bezerra, Tujar and Jubiecki, former UFC fighter. Nazareno Maladri, former Belter fighter against Steven Seiler, he's beaten. So he has some really good wins. Kurt Hollenbaugh, Desmond Green, Cody Ballinger. It's another guy that should be in the UFC, but his fighting style is not very exciting. That's why he's not. I believe Cole thought that Gilpin had a chance as an underdog. So, you know, it'd be nice to see some odds here because maybe he does. But I think Harrison wins, guys. I do expect Harrison to get the job done here. I think he grinds him out. But with only two rounds, we'll see what happens there. And also, breaking news here, I'm looking at the UFC weigh-ins. Manny Bermudez has missed weight. He came in at 148 pounds, so that's really disappointing. I don't know how this guy made 135, but yeah, it looks like Manny Bermudez missed weight. Chris Weidman actually made weight, so I just wanted to quickly mention that. I'm going to keep my eyes peeled to these weigh-ins for UFC Boston. But yes, Manny Bermudez has missed weight at 148 pounds, so that's very disappointing. And I don't know what's going on with that guy. All right, let's continue with PFL preview here. Next up, Mavlid Kaibuliev against Daniel Pineda, another 145-pound bout for two rounds. Kaibuliev, 14-0-1 record, 29 years old. They call this guy the killer. He is a very, very dangerous fighter. Again, coming off a draw with Andre Harrison. Before that, he had one of the best knockouts of the year over Demon Jackson, jumping knee 10 seconds. He also has a win over Herbert Burns and won championships. So a very dangerous guy, and expect him to be a big favorite here against Daniel Pineda. Pineda's a very experienced fighter, 26-13 record, 34 years old. He did fight in the UFC a few years ago. He had a couple wins in the UFC. He beat Pat Schilling. He beat Mackin Surmiser. He beat Justin Lawrence. And he also has a win over Leonard Garcia from Legacy. So he has some decent wins, I guess. He is actually coming off four straight wins. But I find with this guy, when he steps up in competition, for the most part, he does lose. If you look throughout his career, whenever he stepped up, he's lost his fights. So he's actually not a bad fighter. And he does, like I said, have a ton of experience. He's fought in Bellator, Elite XC, he's fought in UFC. So he has a ton of experience here. But I expect him to lose. I think Kai Duliev wins this fight, potentially by stoppage. Even though it's just a two-round fight, I think this guy actually could stop Daniel Pineda. So my pick's Kai Duliev, and I expect him to be favored pretty heavily here as well. And the last bout here on the featherweight tournament quarterfinals, we have Luis Rafael Lorentzen against Jeremy Kennedy in a rematch. This is an interesting fight. Really is. Again, love to see some odds for this, but we don't have them. Luis Rafael Lorentzen, 34-2 record, 27 years old. He actually does have a winner, Jeremy Kennedy, by knockout earlier this year. He was a big, big underdog in that fight, knocked him out. Then he followed up with a knockout loss against Lance Palmer. So disappointing there. But this guy is, look at his record, 34-2. You can't take this guy lightly. And I think a lot of bettors did, and I think Jeremy Kennedy did, to be quite frank, not getting knocked out there. So you know what? Look at his resume. His level competition's actually been quite low. Like, a lot of the guys he's fought don't even have records that are out there. So not a great level of competition, but I think the win over Kennedy showed that this guy actually is a decent fighter. He's going to be taking on Kennedy, who I just mentioned, 14-2, 27 years old, a Canadian fighter. Again, he was in the UFC for a while. He actually had a pretty good record in the UFC. He went 3-1. He beat Alex Reese. He beat Ronnie Jason. Beat Kyle Bochniak. And then he got knocked out by Alexander Volkanovski and got released. Since he's been released, he's 3-1, coming off a win over Steven Seiler. You know what? If all of the featherweight fights, this one probably has the potential for an upset. I actually think Kennedy will probably be favored again. I think people do actually still think he's the better fighter. And he actually might be. I think he actually might be. But you know what? I wouldn't bet on him after that first fight. So my pick would be Kennedy to win. I think he probably does grind out a decision here. I think he fights smarter. But after we saw the fight earlier this year, I wouldn't bet on him. And Lorentzen will probably be a big underdog. And he will be someone to take a look at, I think. But again, we don't have odds, so I don't know exactly what the odds are. All right, it's got the lightweight tournament, some good fights here. Opening up the lightweight quarterfinals, Nathan Schulte, who won last year's tournament against Ramzi Nijhuz. And Nathan Schulte was money for me last year. I picked him pretty much in every fight. The guy looked amazing, 17-3-1, 27 years old. He's on a nice little win streak here, undefeated streak, seven fight unbeaten streak, four straight wins. So a very solid little resume there. Beat Jesse Ronson in his last fight, also beat Yin Kang Bao earlier this year, and he has wins last year twice over Chris Wade, Rashid Magomedov in the finals, and Jason High. So very, very solid fighter, very underrated fighter, great signing by PFL, another underrated guy that they have, American top team trained fighter. He's very good. So I think this guy's very solid. Takes on Nijim here, who's struggled pretty bad lately. 10-7 record in his career, 31 years old, still pretty young, surprisingly. Obviously, he fought in the UFC for a while. He's a big prospect almost 10 years ago now, but he flamed out of the UFC. He does have a couple of good wins, though, like Benil Dariush. When he knocked him out, that was a pretty big upset at the time, coming off a win over Yuki Kawana in PFL, but that was last October. He has not fought in over a year. His last couple of fights have been canceled. He's had a couple walkover wins, so good for him to make it this far. I don't think he really should be in this tournament, though. At the same time, though, I guess it's not really his fault his opponent's this way, but still, he's lucky to be this at this point in the tournament. I expect Nathan Schulte to win this fight pretty easily, just better everywhere. So probably a decision there for Nathan Schulte. Next up, we have another lightweight bout between Akhmed Aliyev and Rashid Magomedov. Akhmed Aliyev, 18-5, they call this guy the Butcher. He is coming off a decision loss to Chris Wade. That's a disappointing loss here, but before that had eight straight wins, including a win over Carlos Silva in PFL earlier this year. He has some decent wins here in his career, like Diego Brando, Efren Escudero, Ivan George, Vanir Galiev, so a really good level of competition, actually. Zubair Tukhugov, he also knocked him out earlier in his career. This guy's pretty solid, you know, so he's a pretty good fighter. He is in his prime. I think this guy's pretty dangerous. Takes on Rashid Magomedov, 23-4-1. He is 35 years old now, so getting up there in age, coming off a decision loss against Nate Andrews, very, very disappointing loss there. 1-1 this year. He also beat Loic Radziambov, so that was a solid win for him, but very, very inconsistent lately the last few years. But again, a guy with a ton of experience. He has some great wins in his career, no doubt about it. Thiago Tavares, Bobby Green, Gilbert Burns, Rodrigo Dam, Anthony Rocco Martin, Alexander Yakovlev. he has some good wins. You know, and this guy's been around for a long time. He also has a win over Frodo Kazbolayev. I don't know whatever happened to that guy. He was really good in Bellator. He's still fighting. Wow, that's crazy, but not on the States. Yeah, you know what? This is probably going to be a fight where Aliyev's favored. He probably does win, but I would consider Rashid Magomedov as a dog if he's a big enough dog. I don't think you completely write this guy off yet. I know he hasn't looked great lately, but I wouldn't completely write him off yet. I don't think he's that bad yet. He is getting up there in age. So, again, I expect him to be an underdog, but at some point, maybe take a look at him. So that's someone I would pencil in as a potential dog as well. Next up, Islam Mamedov against Loic Radziabov. Mamedov, 18-1 record, 29 years old. Guy's solid. He's coming off 17 straight wins. One loss in his career in 2009 to Alexander Tiger Sarnowski, former Bellator fighter, And this guy has solid wins. I mean, this year he looked good. Yingqing Bao and Yildiz Duran, he beat them both. I mean, not great names by any means, but still got the wins. He beat Nathan Schulte 2 years ago. He has a win over George Patino, big name veteran there. So you know what? This guy's pretty solid. Good wins. Takes on Radziabov, 12-1 record. 29 years old, coming off a win over Yildiz Duran. Both guys, ironically, coming off of split decisions over the same guy. He had lost to Rashid Magomedov earlier this year as well. Looking through his resume, definitely not as much experience against high-level competition, that's for sure. Yeah, I definitely got to go with Mamedov in this fight, guys. I think he'll be a big favorite as well. And finally, we have Chris Wade against Nate Andrews. This is an interesting one for sure. Chris Wade, 16-5 record, the Long Island Killer, 32 years old. He's looked really good in PFL. You know, he's a guy that probably should be in the UFC roster, but he had contractual issues with them. He is 4-2 since coming to PFL, coming off 2 straight wins over Akhmed Aliyev and Nate Andrews. He's already beaten Nate Andrews. They have fought early this year. His only 2 losses in PFL to Nathan Schulte, so not bad losses. He has a couple other notable wins in his career, Frankie Perez, Christos Gago. So he has a pretty good level of experience as well. Been around for a while. UFC veteran, obviously. WSOF, Ring of Combat. So he's been around for a while. Very, very solid fighter. Good wrestling, very sound fighter. Takes on Nate Andrews here, 16-2 record. Call him the Snake, 35 years old. Coming off a big upset over Rashid Magomedov. That was a great win for him. I didn't expect him to win that fight. Before that, obviously, had lost to Chris Wade, like I mentioned. Prior to that, though, it actually won 9 straight fights. So this guy is a winner. I mean, he's got a great record. I just think with the age difference, he's a little bit older. Only 3 years older, but still, he's older. And I just feel like Chris Wade's fought better fighters and beaten better fighters in his career. No doubt the Rashid Magomedov win was a great win for this guy, but we've seen this fight. We saw it earlier this year, and that's the one problem I have with PFL. I really like what they're doing, but unfortunately, with the nature of the tournament and the point system, you will see rematches like this that really I don't think we necessarily need to see. And I think this is one where we've seen this fight, and I don't expect anything to be different, to be honest with you. I think Chris Wade grinds about again, wins a decision, and that'd be my pick for this fight. So hopefully the odds come out today, guys. I know you guys want to bet on them. For sure. There's some good fights potentially to bet on as well. But I would just keep refreshing best fit odds until the odds drop. I'm assuming they will drop sometime in the early afternoon. But yes, it'd be nice if one of these sports books really stepped up and started pumping out the PFL odds earlier. And I know you guys are probably in the same situation as me where you're just sitting there clicking refresh on best fight odds, waiting for these odds to drop. All right, a couple of pieces of news here. Conor McGregor and Frank Edgar have reportedly agreed to fight. They were talking on Twitter back and forth. Frankie said he's agreed to the fight. He said now it's just up to Conor. Dana, Conor says he's agreed to the fight as well. So Conor says after they're going to fight in December. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't think they'd add that fight to UFC 245. I don't see why they would. It'd be crazy if they did. It doesn't make sense, really. I think that Conor probably headlines the card in early 2020 against Frankie if that's what the UFC wants. I mean, it's not a bad fight, I guess. I just don't see the point of it right now. I mean, Frankie's already said he wants to drop to 135, and now I guess he'll be moving up to 155 to fight Conor. It's kind of weird, right? Like, there's so many actual lightweights, like Justin Gaethje, guys like that, that want to fight Conor, Dustin Poirier, even Tony Ferguson, I'm sure, would fight him. Even Khabib. I mean, geez. Like, I don't think he deserves a fight with Khabib. I'm just saying, like, at least he'd be fighting someone his own size. Frankie's way smaller than him. I know Frankie's got that wrestling. I know Frankie's a tough dude, but I'd have to favor Conor if this fight happens. I think we all would. So we'll see if this happens. I mean, they're talking about it. It seems like they have agreed to something, but I don't know. Based on what I've seen from fans don't seem too excited about this, guys. And I don't know what you guys are thinking. If you want, drop a comment in there and I'll take a look at it. But personally, myself, not too excited about this fight. I'd rather see Conor fight Justin Gaethje. So we'll see what happens. Maybe he's lying. Who knows, Conor at this point. But yeah, it looks like Conor versus Frankie might happen. Later this year, earlier next year, if I had to guess, earlier next year. Rafael dos Anjos, he has he said to Dustin Poirier he'll fight him at welterweight, so that'd be an interesting fight. Poirier does seem very open to moving up in weight after the loss to Khabib. It makes sense. I mean, at this point, he's way far back at the in the welterweight, or excuse me, in the lightweight title picture. Rafael dos Anjos, he's a former lightweight champion. He moved to welterweight, and he quickly became a contender. So I think Poirier could potentially do the same thing, move up, get a couple wins, including win over RDA, which is a top 10 win. So I still feel like he'll be chasing that Conor fight. But if that doesn't happen, and it looks like it might not happen, maybe he does take this fight with RDA, and that'd be a good fight, be a solid matchup, two very well-rounded guys. I'd be personally interested in watching that fight. So potentially if you have RDA versus Dustin Poirier at welterweight, we'll see what happens. Obviously no confirmation for that one yet, but RDA does like that fight. All right, a couple of fight announcements here. I'll get out of here. UFC Busan has a couple of fights here. This one was a little bit surprising to me. They announced the fight yesterday. Dewey Choi will be returning, but he's not going to be fighting Cub Swanson. Unfortunately, Cub Swanson has broken his hand or something, and he will be out for a little while. He's been injured, so Dewey Choi will still fight in this card. And unfortunately, it's not against Cub, but he'll be fighting Charles Air Jourdain. So an interesting fight here. Dewey Choi, very good fighter, green superweight, only 20 years old, still super young. He has not fought since January 2018, though, when he got knocked out by Jeremy Stephens. Before that, he had fought in 2016, December, against Cub Swanson, lost that decision, but still exciting guy. 3-2 record overall in the UFC, 3 knockout wins, knocked out Tiago Tavares, knocked out Sam Cecilia, knocked out Juan Puig. Guy's really good. Takes on Charles Jourdain, 9-2 record, 23 years old, very young fighter, former TKO champion up here in Canada, in Quebec. He is coming off a loss to Desmond Green. It was not really a close fight. I mean, it was somewhat competitive at points, but he pretty much got swept by Desmond Green on the scorecards. Before that, won 4 straight fights. Does have a decent level of experience, I guess, fighting in TKO. He's beaten guys like Will Romero and Damian Lapolis, Alex Morgan. So a couple guys in the Canadian regional scene. But I don't know. For the most part, I haven't personally been too impressed with this guy. And TKO's champions like Marc-Andre Barrio, they really haven't fared too well in the UFC. He is super young, about 23, and he has actually been active, unlike Choi. So maybe this guy has a better chance than I think, but with Choi fighting at home, you got to favor Choi in this fight. You have to. With that striking, you have to favor him. So, interesting matchup. Not really the fight that I think I would have booked. Not the fight I think the fans would have booked. Like, there was guys like, I feel like Andre Feely, I think you could have put against Choi, someone like that, like a mid-level guy that's more exciting. But, you know what? Sean Shelby's good at his job. Maybe a good matchup that we're not thinking about. But personally, it wasn't the fight that I expected. Based on fan reaction, I don't think fans are too excited for this fight. They're just excited to see Dewey Choi return to the octagon. And the other fight, UFC Busan, we have Ji-Yeon Kim against Sabina Mazo. So another fight with a South Korean fighter. Sabina Mazo, she's a Colombian fighter, obviously coming off finally her first win in the UFC. She's 7-1. She's coming off a win over Shayna Dobson. Before that, lost to Marina Moroz. Not a great performance there against Moroz, but still a very young fighter, only 22 years old. And Ali Abdelaziz's client, so you know he's helping her get a winnable fight. Kim actually is pretty solid. She's looked pretty good in the UFC. 29 years old, again, South Korean fighter. She is 9-2-2 in her career, 3-2 overall in the UFC, coming off a win over Nadia Kassam by TKO punches. Really good performance there. And, you know, Kassam had that basically very unsportsmanlike beginning of the fight. She went to go tap gloves with her, and then she went for a cheap shot, and then she got dropped right away. So it was kind of karma, and then Kim ended up winning by TKO. She also has a couple wins over Justine Kish, which was a really good win for her, and Melinda Fabian lost to Shevchenko, Antonina Shevchenko, and lost to Lucy Pudilova. So I think she's a decent fighter. This is a close fight, really close. Mazo, if she's on, she will win this fight probably, because I do think she is probably a better fighter with more upside. But Kim is very solid. I don't think you can completely count Kim out, especially fighting at home. So I have to see the odds on this one before I make a pick, but I think it's a pretty close fight. It should be close to a pick 'em. Probably the slight lean towards Mazo just based on the hype, but I don't think you can completely write off Kim, and she's won a few times as an underdog, and I don't think you can completely count her out. So I'm just taking a look at Twitter to see if any more weight misses. Yeah, James Lynch, my buddy there, he confirms that Manny Bermudez will not be cutting any more weight. He missed his weight against Charles Rosa. Very disappointing by Manny Bermudez. Don't know what's going on. And according to Aaron Bronstein, another good friend of mine, he's actually missed weight in 3 straight fights, which is terrible. Missed weight 4 pounds against Mino Lopez. Showed the weight fight week heavy for UFC 241 is both Casey Kennedy's main and catch weight now 2 pounds over. And that was a bantam weight. So this guy, he's like Anthony Johnson. He can't make weight. This is terrible. So awful. This fight could be canceled, but I think Charles Rosa is going to take this fight because he needs to fight. You know, he hasn't fought in 2 years. He's going to take this fight, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, there's a chance it could be cut, but I think the fight will stay on. I want to give a shout out to my buddy Carlin Bardsley. Carlin's a great guy, man. And he just actually did an interview with Luke Kumo, former UFC fighter. So interesting interview there by Carlin. Got to give him a shout. I think I'll actually be joining Carlin on his podcast next week at some point. I'm trying to figure out time. He lives in Taiwan now, so it's not easy to figure out a time for me to do a podcast here. I might have to do it like at midnight, but I'll be super tired. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to try to figure it out. Carlin's a great guy, and I want to do a show with him. What else? I might be doing a show with Aaron actually tomorrow on Periscope. I'll let you guys know tomorrow morning. There's a chance that could happen. So I might be joining Aaron Brosnahan tomorrow, breaking down tomorrow's card on Periscope before the card. But I should mention, and you guys probably already know, that myself and Cole Sheldon broke down the entire UFC Boston card on Tuesday. So go back and check that out, guys. I appreciate that. It's on Tuesday. Again, the card's tomorrow. It's a Friday card, a rare Friday card in the UFC, but I personally love it. I'd rather see the cards on Friday than Saturday myself, but you know, a rare one on Friday. It's going to check to see here. Yeah, I think that's it for today, guys. So once again, thanks for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow morning breaking down whatever happens at PFL tonight and any other news in MMA. So have a good day, guys. I'll be back tomorrow. See you. Bye.